I'm going to read to you these little excerpts of emails and I guess letters and texts from different people who went through some terrible moment, some terrible time in their life. And they're really, they're expressions of gratitude to certain people who were there for them. I've been struggling to write this piece because I'm not sure if my brain can come up with enough words to express my gratitude. What you did for me surpasses anything I could ever repay you for. For that, I'm forever grateful. Here's another one. I didn't think that I had a chance of surviving. I didn't see any hope or any chance of life getting better. Then out of nowhere, you showed up. You held me while I was in the middle of a bathroom floor with mascara running down my chin. And you let makeup get all over your clean shirt. You were the rock at the end of the cliff, guarding me so I wouldn't swim off the deep end. Here's another one. Thank you always for encouraging me and giving me tough love when I need to be pushed, and a hug when I'm really down. One more. The truth is, I have no idea where I would be if you weren't there that one night. I don't know who I would be if you weren't there to tell me that everything would be okay, or that things can only get better. You set my frozen heart on fire and you warmed my soul. You gave me a purpose. You gave me a purpose to live again and to be who I am. I remember reading this as part of this book years ago. It was about, came out a year or so, 2 years after 9/11. And it was just filled with people's eyewitness accounts of that day. People who were there, and from all different perspectives. People who worked at the World Trade Center, firefighters, people who were just walking by, all places. And I remember there was one chapter, and it was entitled Strangers. And all this chapter had were these little excerpts, people talking about having been saved by strangers. People getting so overwhelmed by the smoke, unable to breathe, people collapsing, not being able to see, strangers picking them up, in some cases carrying them, getting them to safety, and before, literally, in some cases, the dust settled to where they could see who it was, these people were gone. And I mean, like, a lot of these in this chapter on strangers. So for a minute, let's cut through the drama and the emotion of some of those little things that I read to you. Very powerful, heartfelt stuff, right? I just want to pull out one sentence from one of them, which I think kind of reflects all of them. It's this. This person said, then out of nowhere, you showed up. Every one of those messages, every one of those 9/11 ones that I referenced, expressed exactly that. Then out of nowhere, you showed up. Like, who showed up? A parent, a sibling, a friend, a teacher or priest, a therapist or a coach, strangers. Where'd they come from? Who sent them? Why'd they show up? Who sends those people? I think I know. On the evening of that first day, when the doors were locked because they were afraid, Jesus stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When they saw the Lord, the disciples rejoiced. "As the Father sent me, now I send you." He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You know, that upper room where they all hid, the apostles, that was not a happy place. We're told they were hiding. They weren't playing hide-and-go-seek. These guys were hiding because they were scared. And then Jesus shows up, and gives them this ability to no longer be afraid. This spirit he imparts on these guys and us unparalyzes them. Then out of nowhere, you showed up. These rescuers, these life savers, who show up and become the difference, some cases between making it and not, life and death. And I think it all comes back to this gospel, this feast, that upper room. God shows up through those he sends. And then we stop hiding. And that's what Pentecost is about. God shows up through these people. God's Spirit works, operates through these people who show up, and then we stop hiding. You know, somebody, a friend of mine, sent me this book not too long ago, and it's called On the Other Side of Fear, How I Found Peace. Anyway, it's written by this Catholic writer. She's a speaker, she's a radio host, she's married, she's got a big family. I looked her up, to be honest. I didn't feel like reading a book if I didn't know it was going to be worth my time. I knew nothing about her. The title intrigued me, On the Other Side of Fear. So I looked her up, and I watched a video of her. She was speaking at a Catholic conference, and she was pretty good. And like I said, the title is kind of what grabbed me. Anyway, she talks about her life, the first maybe half of her life, which she said was just kind of consumed by fear. She said she was always afraid. I mean, she lived this very active life. You'd never know it, she said, by looking at her. But she said within, she was a wreck. She was constantly afraid, concerned for her kids' safety, her health, her husband's health, their finances, the world we're living in. She said she grew up in this very intense, competitive family, like this take-no-prisoners kind of family, where they were challenged to confront their fears, like in very kind of bold, radical ways. If you're afraid of that, then you go after that and you conquer that. And I think sometimes that has its place, but she said what was happening was, yeah, she'd conquer that, and there were 10 other fears. So she was always like in this process of trying to conquer these fears, but was always afraid. She converted, she became Catholic, and discovered Jesus, and never really looked back. This is what she says. "The message of my book is that terrible, painful things happen all over the world every day. That's just reality. And anyone who tells you that you can live a life free of suffering is either lying or delusional. What we don't have to accept is living our lives mired in anxiety. Recognizing that life is hard and being at peace are not mutually exclusive." She said, I've come to believe that the other side of fear is that place of peace where you find yourself in when you come to truly believe that deep down in your bones that God has your back and he will not abandon you no matter how furious the storms in your life may rage. She talks a lot about if you want to grow spiritually, you've got to surrender spiritually. Like, surrendering is an enormous concept, and it is, for sure, with this writer. She says, when you surrender to God, and you kind of basically say, at the end of the day, you're in charge. I mean, I got responsibilities, we all got burdens and worries, but you are in charge. I surrender to you, and I know you will. You got my back. Her point is like, man, when that happened with her, everything shifted. She said, I felt courageous as long as I was in the driver's seat. But when you give your life over to God, you hand them the keys, which is a very frightening thing to do. Seeing as our God is a God who's known to ask wild and crazy things of his people. She said, I wasted too many years in the grip of fear, and I can tell you that no matter what it takes to overcome your fear, no matter how hard you have to work or how much you have to sacrifice, it's just worth it. For here, on the other side of fear, lies freedom. And that's where God's plan for you is to be found. You know, we had First Communions here yesterday, and I had one of the masses. And the gospel I picked was when Jesus calms the storm. He's in the boat with the apostles. That's not a typical gospel you'd pick for a First Communion. You know, usually you got the miracle of the loaves, you got the Last Supper, all this kind of like Eucharist stuff, which makes sense. It's a First Communion. But I intentionally chose this gospel. Jesus is in the boat with the apostles on the lake. Crazy storm kicks up. Looks like they're going to sink. They're freaking out. He's sleeping. He's literally sleeping in the boat. They run up to him and wake him up. They're like, are you crazy? We're going to die. And he calms the storm. And I said to the parents, our kids are becoming more and more scared. Anxiety has become epidemic in our culture, especially among kids, middle school, high school. Everybody's scared. Everybody's anxious. And I said to them, I think Jesus is the prescription. He's not the only prescription, but he's the biggest, the best, and the most effective. He calms us in our storms. Reception of him gets us through the storm. So to these parents, I was like, so let your kids know him. Allow them to receive him all the time. Because if you do, they will be less scared. Does it guarantee against storms? Of course not. Storms are coming, like it or not. We can't control that, but what we can totally control is whether we survive them or not. And proximity to him gets us through the storms. Well, that was the First Communion. That's the Eucharist. That's Jesus. Today, tonight, is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. It's this gospel. It's this group of very frightened people hiding. And then he shows up and he gives them this courage. He gives them this spirit. And then they go out and they go into the world and they change it. And everywhere they go, they find other people who are hanging out, hiding in their version of upper rooms, whatever that looks like. And these Holy Spirit-sent apostles changed it all. And it wasn't just for them. This wasn't a one-shot deal. He sent out the Spirit that day, and that was it. It never stops. We had 7 confirmations this morning at the 9:45 Mass. We believe that God works through the church, through sacraments. And those 7 people were gifted today. Now, what they do with it ultimately will be their call. But the possibility of those people showing up out of nowhere into somebody's life who is lost and scared and alone. How great is that? Then out of nowhere, you showed up. Who are your rescuers? Who are the people in the course of your life that showed up seemingly out of nowhere? Man, when you needed it, they said something, they expressed something, they were just there, and that was the difference, and you know it. It's like, how did they know? How did they know to be here? How did they know to say that? How did they know to make that call? It's this Holy Spirit. It's this whole Pentecost thing. So if you had to write one of those notes, like the ones I mentioned in the beginning, a thank you note to your rescuer, who'd you write it to? Well, you know what? If they're still around, you ought to express thanks. Send your version of one of those notes. And if they're not with us anymore, say a prayer for them. Who have you rescued? Who do you need to rescue? They came out of nowhere. They show up. Out of nowhere, they show up. And they lead someone to the other side of fear.